For tape, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2012 Deliverance Ministers Conference being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Wednesday morning, October the 24th, 2012. Sharon Mokey is the speaker of this service, teaching on the independent spirit.
Like Pastor Jim said, we only bring what we've lived through, and that really is the power of the gospel. And that's good news for all trials and tribulations, because every trial and tribulation that God takes you through and delivers you from and transforms you into the image of Christ from, well, then you just turn around and tell others. And that's where the power of the gospel is. So it's worth something, guys. You're not going through that for nothing. All right. I'm really honored and privileged to be here again to share with you. I like the scripture that says, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, I will repay. Well, a lot of times he lets us have a little bit of that vengeance when we get to preach about what he has delivered us from. So I'm going to share a message with you today on a group of spirits that Monty and I got delivered from. We had been in deliverance quite a few years. And when we got delivered from this spirit, there was such a radical change in our marriage. And you would, from the outside, you would think, well, they get along really good. And we did. But there was still something missing, and I'm going to share that with you today. Okay. Well, one of the things where Christianity is different from all the other religions is that Christianity is a relationship. It's a relationship. And the Christian faith rests upon relationship first with God and then with others. In Genesis 2:18, it says, "And the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him a helpmeet for him. And out of the ground the Lord formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called them, every living creature, that's what their name was." And some of them are pretty long. Anyway. "And Adam gave names to all cattle and fowl of the air and every beast of the field. But for Adam there was not found a helpmate for him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up his flesh and said, and the rib which the Lord God had taken from man, he made a woman and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, now this is bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh, and she shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his mother and father and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And they were both naked, and the man and his wife, and they were not ashamed." We will see, and as you go through the scriptures, prayer and fellowship were central to the first church of Acts. Prayer and fellowship. For Acts 2:42 says, "And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread and in prayers." Well, why would they do that? Well, one, it helped them to nurture a relationship with God. It helped them to nurture relationships with one another. The early church considered the two so central to the faith that they were mutually dependent upon each other, like two sides of a nickel, and that they are both found together over and over in the scripture. A lot of people confuse minister versus relationship. To minister is to one person. But to have a relationship takes two people. We have found that through the years it is very easy for some people to stand up and tell everybody else what to do. And they minister to you. And yet they do not have a relationship. Well, in deliverance, God does not let us get by with that. Because one of the first things that he'll have you do with someone that you meet that he wants you to eventually administer deliverance to is form a relationship with that person. So that's just the way it is. We are not going to just run in here and go, hundle, 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 you're all delivered and run out the door. It just doesn't work that way. You have to have a relationship with that person. And that is so critical because the foundation of deliverance is so different than any other type of ministry. So that's why I want to share with you one of the spirits that really works against that and relationships. Well, for those people that are from America, you will recognize this right away. The independent spirit. The lone cowboy riding off into the sunset. The man or woman who says, oh, I pulled myself up by my bootstraps. The self-made man or the self-made woman. I did it my way. I didn't need anybody. They're rough and tough and hard to bluff. That's your independent spirit. And it is idolized in America. We're proud to be independent. We have Independence Day. Well, according to Scripture, these are not the way of a Christian. God wants us to be dependent upon Him. Easier said than done. Because for generations now, especially you folks that have been in America for a while, this has been in your blood. That independent spirit is flowing through your veins. And every time they play the national anthem, we are proud to be Americans and we're independent. Well, let's see where that might take us. The independent spirit works to separate you from the love of God. Whoa, that doesn't sound so good anymore. It will separate you from the peace of God. And it will separate you from the security that God wants to bring to you deep inside. Unless we can submit ourselves and come to recognize the areas in our life where this independent spirit is making our choices. It's a whole belief system of independence. Until we challenge that, you don't even know it's there. And we didn't. We were the most surprised of all. Well, independent spirits, they like to run around with spirits of pride and self-sufficiency and stubbornness, which some people mistakenly call persistence. Just ask your wife or your husband which one it is. Rebellion. Well, and isn't rebellion the same as witchcraft? An independent spirit will lead you into all sorts of bad judgments because you don't seek the counsel of others. I know it. I know it all. It goes with the I know it all spirit. Don't tell me what to do. I know what to do. My family's always done it this way. Consequently, you do not seek the counsel of others and you get in a heap of trouble. For the Bible says, for in a multitude of counselors is wisdom. An independent spirit is not a nurturing spirit. It is self-absorbed. It cares only for itself. And it only watches out for number one, me, myself, and I. Those three people, me, myself, and I. That's what the independent spirit is concerned about. This independent spirit feels no guilt when you gain at others' expense. Well, I don't care. I got this promotion. I don't care how many heads I step on to get there. I don't care how much I gossip about some other woman in the office. An independent spirit has no guilt or no remorse at taking advantage of others to elevate themselves. This independent spirit begins to numb you, your emotions, and your heart, and you become calloused and uncaring. You have no empathy for others. Well, I pulled myself up by the bootstraps. Why don't you? You become very judgmental and critical of others. Pretty soon, you're not able to feel anything. Well, when that happens, you know the devil always has a solution for your problems. Well, one of the solutions that he'll come to you with when you all of a sudden can feel nothing, and this is not a natural human state, is there comes a time when you want to feel alive. So, what do? Some people go bungee jumping. Some people do those roller coasters that are like whoop-de-doo and, I mean, horribly tall things. Or this latest one Monty and I saw, I don't know how many feet high in the air it was, and you, like, you almost reach the speed of a shuttle before you hit the bottom, just to feel alive. One of the very dangerous things that a lot of us, the kids, are feeling when they feel this is they turn to drugs. And I've got some articles I'll share with you in the next message just how drugs are not your friend. And drugs may make you feel alive for a minute, but they're killing you for a lifetime. But that's why people do some of the crazy things they do. That's why some people dress really funny. Green hair stripes down there. You know, green hair stripes, zebra. They wear outlandish clothes. They're doing something to try to feel alive. They cut themselves with knives. You see, the teachers will see extreme attention getting at school. Because deep inside, they know that it's not right to feel. This independent spirit leaves a person hollowed out, a shell of a person. No heart, no empathy, no compassion. Lonely, depressed, suicidal, meaningless, purposelessness, hopelessness, despair. What's it all for, anyway? Now, the independent spirit lies and says, and often we hear this in the family, I'm doing all this for you. I am working long hours so you can have this big house and we can go on vacations and the kids can go to private school. It's all for you that I am doing this. In reality, the truth is that they can't interact with the family. But it can't be their problem. Remember, this spirit is reinforced in the workplace. This spirit is reinforced in America. We don't need anybody. We're rough and tough and hard to bluff. What Monty and I have found, and by personal experience, is that men resist strongly when God puts his finger on this spirit. You might hear this. The independent spirit will say this. Well, all a man has to do is provide for his family and put food on the table. That's all I'm supposed to do. How many have heard that for generations? Well, I would submit to you that a lion puts food on the table. A lion brings food for his family. A lion protects his family. Man is not an animal. And many years this has been taught in our public school system that man is an animal. He is not an animal. He is a human being. Man is a human being. And a lot of people have this belief that man is an animal. And that's why I want to chase women. And that's why I want to do all these things. We use it as an excuse to sin. Man is not an animal. We are created in the image of God. Whether you're a Christian or not, you're created in the image of God. So that's no excuse. Men do have words. Men can talk. They have fewer words than women, but they can talk and they can engage in conversation. Right, honey? Yes. But girls, this is why we have friends that are girls, is because we have probably 20,000 more words to use up, and we don't need to use them all up on our husbands when they come home at the end of a long day. But men, it's no excuse not to talk. You can't sit there and grunt. Pass the salt, please. Not... I can laugh now, but there was a time when this was very, very painful. One of the things, and I must really share with you, that the Jezebel Ahab spirit teaching has divided a lot of men and women and families. This teaching has enabled men to keep an independent spirit. One of the things that God really, very definitely showed Monty and I, that the Jezebel Ahab teaching actually works to separate and condemn. It does not bring men and women together. It makes men feel superior and women feel worthless and afraid. Did you know that there are no men and women in heaven? You've all read that, right? When God looks at us, He doesn't see a man or a woman. He sees Joe or Mary or Susie, and He says, okay, I put this gift in Joe, I put this gift in Susie, I put this gift in Frank. Are they using it? We should be encouraging each other in the gift that God has given each one of us, because at the end, I will give an account if I have done what God's created me to do. You will give an account for what God's created you to do. There will be no excuses in heaven. Women, you cannot say, well, my husband didn't let me. That will not fly. God will not accept that excuse. Men, God will not accept your excuses either. Well, my wife wouldn't do that. A little red buzzer goes on. Excuse. And the trap door opens. No. That's just my expanded version. But it's very important that we get away, because it's caused division and strife and contention. In our church, if anybody called one of us women a Jezebel, their head was on the floor. Monty would not tolerate it, because all it did was make women cower and retreat and not come in to the person and the gift that God had put in each of them. So I would just submit that to you. I have found, and Monty and I have found in our 36 years, that when people come into deliverance or even become a Christian, they just want to do what God wants them to do. They want to be what God wants them to be. And then they get a hold of religious spirits that start saying, well, you can't wear earrings. I wear clip-ons. I know about the piercing, and I agree with that. But some say women shouldn't wear pants. You know? Some say, you know, they have all these rules and regulations that God never created. Because God is concerned about your heart. He's concerned about the part of you that's going to go to heaven for eternity. And that's what He wants to work in you, is what's going to go with you to eternity. So I would just submit that to you, that that has really wounded both men and women and caused a division and a strife that never should be there. This was very interesting when the Spirit was coming up with Monty and I. I felt that. I just felt like He was always holding me at arm's length. And Monty was very loving to me, very kind. I mean, he wasn't abusive or anything, but I never felt like I could get closer than an arm's length. I mean, we had a good sexual relationship. So putting that out of the picture, it's something women feel. When Monty and I finally got to the point we could talk about it, he was flabbergasted. He goes, really? And there was a time when he was getting lots of pressure from a lot of places, and he goes, well, if I have to do this ministry myself, well, then I will. And I said, only because you want to. That was that independent spirit talking. It makes men feel like the whole world's against me, but I'm going to power through for God. That's the independent spirit. But Monty never felt it. It didn't feel like rage or rejection or any of the other spirits that we often come against that you can actually feel in your body. He could not feel that. But being the wise man that he was, he submitted himself for prayer. He didn't want to be that way. His whole desire, his whole life, is for good marriages. Even when he was a young child, God put into him a desire to help marriages. I mean, from when he was little. And you know that's God when it starts little. So this was not his character at all. He didn't want to be that way. But he didn't know that he was. And men, I would submit to you that don't be offended if your wife says, you know, honey, what Sharon talked about, I feel that way. Just say, great, now we know who it is. We're going to go after him with both barrels, honey. Because I want to share the fruit of what happens when you get rid of that spirit. When we got rid of that spirit, there was a connectedness that we had never had. He was my first love. I did everything first with him. So there was that connectedness. But this was a different connectedness. I felt connected to him. He felt connected to me. It had nothing to do with time or distance. He could be in Germany, he could be on the moon, wherever he was, I felt close to him. I felt I could now approach him. And we could talk about things and share things that we had never done before. Remember, this independent spirit runs with pride and stubbornness and unteachableness and all that gang. And this is a connectedness beyond words and deeds. Nothing on the outside of Monty changed. Nothing. He did the same thing every day. There was no change in his behavior. But we were connected. That spirit was the one that, when it was inside him, was like this. And when it's gone, you won't feel that anymore. Sometimes you wonder why people are slow to come up to you or to get friendly. Well, maybe they feel something. Maybe they feel something on the outside that you don't even know you have. And unfortunately, in this day and age, many, many, many women have the independent spirit too. Because of abuse and different things, they are saying, I don't need a man. And sometimes they say, I don't need God. And even though they're saying that out of emotional pain and their wounds, they allow that independent spirit to come in, and they're going to do it their way. And boy, are they fun to work with. Ever had a boss or somebody say, my way or the highway? This independent spirit keeps you from becoming one flesh if you're married. You may love each other like crazy, and we did. But it wasn't until, and I submitted myself for deliverance on this independent spirit too. I'm not going to leave any stone unturned. We became one flesh. Now, how can two walk together if they're both going in a different direction? For the first time, even though we were both completely sold out to the ministry, we'd give our life for the sheep, there was a difference. It's now like we were together. I have to, Monty, come up here real quick a minute. I'll show you this. Tell. But we were connected for the first time. And it's like this. This illustration that we got of, it's like our legs are tied together. Everybody here, the three-legged race? Okay, well, here we go. Outside first of this one. Okay. Okay, honey, we should have practiced.
Two.
Okay. See? We were connected. But did I lose my identity? Did he lose who he was? No, because you still got one leg. You know, you don't lose yourself with this connectedness. I didn't morph into him. He wasn't browbeaten by me. He was still everything God created him to be. I was everything God created me to be. But in marriage, we were on the same page. I'm telling you, there was so, it's like fighting ceased a lot. Because we were both together. And this was this independent spirit. Folks, I just can't stress this enough. And I know one spirit doesn't do everything, but this spirit does a lot to destroy your intimate relationships. Now, people ask me, well, Sharon, my husband or my wife is in deliverance. It doesn't matter. You want to get rid of this independent spirit because you're married and you want to both be on the same page. It brings health to you. It brings peace to you. It brings joy to you. I cannot explain. It's worth the fight getting rid of this. Men, it is robbing you of the love and admiration that you crave. When we got rid of this, I mean, oh, you know how the little butterfly eyes and all this kind of stuff. I loved and admired him before. But this spirit, when it's gone, it really swells up on us women. And he sees it in my eyes. It's a very cruel spirit. What happens over time is that this independent spirit leaves women feeling really empty. Because we're relational beings. Women are more relational than men, and that's how God made us, and that's cool, and that's fine. But it makes us feel empty and alone. So we divert our attention to the kids if we have it, or give our time to the jobs, and materialism creeps in. I want a new and bigger house. I want more clothes. I want more this. We're trying to fill that empty space inside of us, but it never gets filled. You're going to try and fill it with God. God is not going to fill that space where your husband should be. God fills the space where he should be. But God will not fill the space where other people in your life should be. Well, this goes on, and pretty soon, you know, you start going apart, alienation, isolation, separation, and the man comes home and says, all she cares about are those kids in the house. And she puts everyone else first but me. So, I'm just going to go find a woman that will listen to me and will give her attention to me. So, you are fully justified now to go out and find a relationship outside of your marriage. This leads to affairs, adultery, staying late at work, playing sports all the time, involved in your hobby. If you're a truck driver, you just decide not to come home for the weekend. Join the military. No. Get away from your wife. But then here we go. Spirits of separation come in. And they start working. And then pretty soon the D word comes up. Divorce. Now this independent spirit that told you that it would make you a real man has destroyed what you wanted most. That's the evil of this spirit. It destroys what you want most, man. A wife that loves and adores you. And only her love and adoration can fill that spot in you. And if you're not married yet, girls, check this out with the man that you start dating. Because he'll never get what he wants. He wants you to love and adore him and cherish him. But it will never happen until he deals with this independent spirit. How wonderful that you can deal with it before you get married. That's what I say. Another thing that happens is if the independent spirit works to a cause multitude of attachment disorders. I'm sure many of you might have read about these already. There's multiple types of attachment disorders, and the independent spirit facilitates this. You're a baby born in a family with an independent man, and the mom is doing her own thing, and nobody attaches to you. Dad's attached to his job because that's where he gets all his recognition. Mom is attached to the house and the kids, and oh yeah, you're the baby, but I want to make sure the house is clean, or all of this. And no one really attaches to you. So you kind of come into the world like a balloon that's floating around. Many of our anxiety disorders are rooted in attachment disorders. That low-level anxiety that you feel all the time. For no reason. Everything's going fine. Why do you feel nervous? Panic, anxiety, paralysis. There's no initial attachment to the children. And the children feel lost, abandoned. And they feel like they're floating around in space with nothing to attach to. And they succumb early to peer pressure then. Even if it starts in kindergarten. Because they're looking for someone to attach to. Teenagers often attach themselves to bottles of alcohol or drugs. Girls often go and have sex with every Tom, Dick, and Harry they can find. They want this attachment. It is a human need to be attached. The principle was set down when God said, I am the vine and you're the branches. You attach to me. The vine and the branch are this. You don't have the vine here, the branch over there. The two things that the human brain needs to grow and be healthy are Mozart tapes, baby genius toys. No. God made it real easy. Love and attention. Love and attention are what a baby needs, to grow up healthy. And by the time you get in deliverance, you're usually one of those people that didn't get that. Because people that... Sadly, people that do get a proper love and attention during their life tend to think they don't need God either. So this is where God gets the The scripture that says, when my mother and father forsake me, the Lord will take me up. He knew that. That's why he said, I set the solitary in families. Maybe you're a single guy, you're a single girl, but when you're here, you're in a family. God has given you a family until maybe one day you have your own, and maybe you won't. The neural networks in our brain, which control our body, are formed incorrectly. And hasn't the devil done a good job already? Because he has already destroyed a part of you that you need to function in the gift that God gave you. Well, why is that so important? Because when we stand before God, God's going to say, Sharon, I put this gift in you. What did you do with it? We are responsible for the gifts that God has given us. And this is why deliverance is so critical. Because if we don't get deliverance, we will not use our gift to the fullest measure, and we will suffer loss in heaven for eternity. The devil will have robbed you, not only down here, but for eternity. You want to let that happen? It made me hopping mad. I thought, you've stolen enough out of my life. You're not stealing anymore. I thought, I'm putting my foot down. I am drawing the line right here. You've had enough of my life. God opened my eyes to deliverance, and he has shown me a way to get my life back. And he wants to do that for each and every one of you. A lot of low-level anxiety, poor grades in school, ADD, easily distracted. We can't develop our social skills. So you get in a group of people and you say dumb things, or you don't say anything at all. You don't know how to act, you don't know how to dress, so you don't fit in. So, wow, that just sets you up big time for bullying at school now. So that spirit is just coming in for the kill. They're going to get you every way they can. Another way you'll see is overly aggressive kids and kids that fight all the time because their brain has been damaged from abuse and not having this attachment. The attachment disorders created by this independent spirit leave a trail of emotional devastation. The number of kids that are now diagnosed with psychological disorders is astounding. How many single families do we have in America? More every year. And I think the percentage is even 50-50. It used to be 50-50. Now I think we're kind of swaying on the side of there being more single families than married families. When my kids went to school, and this is when the dinosaurs walked the earth, my kids were one of the few kids that had two parents. I couldn't believe it. I mean, this was 10, 15 years ago, people. You school teachers, you see it every day that a two-parent family is very rare. So this devastation goes on and on. These poor little kids grow up with this excessive worry. They have sleep disorders. They have social phobias. And they can become children that cling. They can't leave. They can't leave home. They can't leave your sight. Obsessive compulsive disorders are very common with this. Some of the physical symptoms that you'll see with this include nausea and vomiting, dizziness, heart palpitations. You're going to the doctor, your heart is racing, he does an EKG and you're fine. Yeah, but my heart is still racing. Stomach aches, GI tract disorders, you know, your stomach is always turning, you have diarrhea, constipation, just colitis. So many of those disorders are rooted in this. Lots and lots of depression and low-level depression. The use of antidepressants in our country is astounding, and it's growing every year. Withdrawal, apathy, and don't we see that over our nation now? Oh, well, whatever. I give up. What's your life? What's it worth? They have difficulty concentrating. They can never relax or rest. And so the bodies burn out. When your body is under constant tension from worry and anxiety, everything inside you constricts. Everything. And your body can only live that way for so long. High blood pressure. Your hypertension. But pretty soon your body just goes, if it can only stay so tight for so long. Another thing we see on the other side, because the devil likes to play a game, we call it ping pong, where you have the ping pong table. Okay, here you have the dry skin, the oily skin. Go ping pong, dry skin, oily skin, dry skin, oily skin. That's enough to drive anybody crazy. And this is how demons work in a lot of areas. That's like manic depressive. Super high, super low. But it's with a lot of patterns in demons. Watch for that. And one of the ping pong effects of this attachment disorder is enmeshment. The parent or the child, they just become enmeshed in each other. I heard on the radio the other day that kids in college now, most of their parents call them every day, sometimes more than every day. I thought, I think I got one letter from my mom and dad, and I know they called one time to tell me my horse died. But that was normal. I mean, everything was fine. They didn't have to call me all the time. They knew I was fine. They're doing their thing. You know, that was a healthy relationship. But these people that are calling your kids every day, that's enmeshment. Don't you love it when God just blows the whistle on this stuff so we can get free, folks? With your general anxiety disorders, there are 6.8 million people, which is 3.1%. Women are 2 times as much affected as men, and that's not because men are stronger. Because it's because women have a hormonal different makeup than men do. Okay, so you're more susceptible to that. OCD is 2.2 million. Panic disorder, 6 million. Post-traumatic stress, 7.7. Social anxiety, 15 million. And specific phobias, 19 million. You know, most people fear God and spider. That's a joke. Okay. For us girls, a lot of girls don't like spiders. I think one of the things that men feel that cripples them is shame. They know inside something's wrong, but they don't know what. Sometimes they react with extreme control, or they just build up more walls and to hide the fears that they do have, because they got to be rough and tough and hard to bluff. I'm the leader of this family. I can't have problems. And so they just kind of shell themselves in. And when they're shelling themselves in, everyone on the outside can't get in either. And it separates them from God's love too. There's a lot of people that say, well, the Bible says God loves me, but I'm just taking it by faith. But these walls keep that love from coming in too. And women, a lot of us have the same things. We're not off the hook. Most of these independent spirits will have been inherited, folks. Your dad got it from your dad, from your mother, on and on and on. There is a good type of independence. It's like you don't want to have to go with your child every time to the bathroom. I mean, that's a good independence. The independence I'm talking about is really rooted in a pride. I did it myself, my way, and why can't you? With the high rate of divorce, abandonment, we're seeing this even worse. Because to cover emotional pain, a person will do anything. Because it hurts too bad. And since our society just thinks that masculine independence is next to God, it is reinforced by everyone around you. And that makes it hard. Religious spirits reinforce this independent spirit. Like Monty say, oh, I'm going to serve God whether anybody else will or not. Well, that was the independent spirit. We are to be relational. We're to have relations. We get from other people and relationships what we can't otherwise. And God made it that way. Your brain will not grow right if you don't have relationships. So don't you think the devil knows that? He read the handbook. He goes, okay, if I just screw up this part of their life, I screw up their brain, and I screw up their life. So God takes us where we're at and starts working us backward and starts restoring us back to what He created in the first place. In Western culture, women are the ones that are the only ones that are perceived as ones that can sustain and foster a relationship. That life comes from the mother versus life from the father. And that's not true. Life comes from the Father. It does not come from the mother. God is a man, not a she. And if we're to have this relationship with God, and God has a relationship with me, what does that tell us by deduction? Men are highly capable of having deep relationships. In fact, men can have almost deeper relationships and soul ties than women can. Men love deeply. I know I shouldn't have told everybody. Guys, forgive me, I had to tell it today. Men love deeply until they're hurt. And men hurt easy. They may act rough and tough on the outside, but on the inside they are very wounded. And women, we have not been taught this in our society. We have been taught that men are cold, indifferent, and you just go to work, do your job, bring me the money so I can spend it how I want. Men have been robbed of rich relationships with their kids and their families and their wives. But God is restoring that. This really can open the door in men for an Ahab spirit that makes you weak. And just says, okay, woman, you just do whatever you want. It's an abdication. Really what Ahab is an abdication of the place where God puts you. And men don't want to be weak. They don't want to be called sissy. So they just get rough and tough and hard to bluff. That exterior just gets a little bit thicker. But men don't want it this way. Little boys don't grow up thinking, I want to be rough and tough and hard to bluff, unless they've been trained that way. A girl gets her femininity from her dad. A girl gets her femininity from her dad. A boy gets his masculinity from his dad. In tribal cultures, they actually have a ceremony where they go and get the boy from the mother in the tent and take him to a separate place. While the mother is hollering and screaming, oh, my poor boy, you can't take him, you can't do this. But it's a symbolic act of I'm separating from my mother and I'm entering into manhood. In America, we don't have a tradition like that. So sometimes men stay attached to their mothers because the mothers haven't kicked them out. And the mothers haven't cut the cord. I was very surprised one day I was at work and there were some girls talking about their divorces. And every one of them said, my husband wouldn't leave his mother. And we're finding this more and more now. That it's the husband that won't leave the mother. That's the problem of the divorce. Not the woman calling her mother all the time, which, you know, we would think. It was the husband that couldn't leave the mother. So mothers, cut the cords when your boys get to be that age. Another thing that happens with this is that resentment and hostility come in. Especially when the man, when he thinks that the woman is stronger and braver in relationships than he is. Not a noble thing, girls. The men get very resentful. And at the same time, they get full of shame. And when a man gets full of shame, he gets severely crippled. And he will start to back out of the relationship. Because he wants to be admired and respected. And that's how God made him. The world market advertises to this false sense of independence. If you buy this beer, what are they? They're all in the bar having fun guzzling beer. If you buy this toothpaste, girls, your teeth will be white and have sex appeal. The subtle messages come, real relationships come from a beer bottle or that toothpaste. I just go out with the guys. I make my relationship with the guys. It's all just running away. And to be honest, most people in our culture do not know how to do relationships anymore. The cell phone and this texting is rewiring people's brains. I have read the reports. I have read the neurological studies on this. It is rewiring people's brains, and it's not in a good way. People are becoming more and more robotic and easily controlled. Your independent thought that God gave you to make choices and decisions is being taken from you. Nobody calls on the phone anymore, hardly. That used to be. First, you know what? We actually wrote letters to people. First of all, we actually went to somebody's house and had supper with them and visited with them. Then the TV came in. Oh, we don't need to do that anymore. Let's just stay at home and watch TV. So all the front porches became vacant. Then we had all this technological advancement. We were just advancing so much. We got computers. So men not only work on them at work, they work on them at home. And it's replaced the newspaper that they hide behind. And it's addictive. They make it that way. And that's a whole nother message. Cell phones, kids. They can't look anybody in the eye. They cannot look someone in the eye. You just test it out with these kids. Their eyeballs are everywhere but on you. They don't know how to have a relationship. So what are they going to do? Text their husband, time for dinner? I've heard of that. It is critical to the formation of the human brain that you look at a face. There's something there. And what does God say? I will see you face to face. I will guide you with my new iPod. That's the new translation in the Bible. Now, I will guide you with my iPod. The old Bible says, I will guide you with my eye. And if you're not looking at the eye, how are you going to be guided? You see, these kids are not even going to have a frame of reference when they read the Bible. It's going to be like, what's that about? They are increasingly impatient. They want to see how fast their little thumbs can go. They're impatient. They have low tolerance, low frustration levels. And in 20 years, the workplace is going to be a war field because they're all going to be expecting each other and feel entitled to the best. Right now. I want it right now. I don't want to start at the bottom. I want to be the CEO. And sadly, there's a lot of companies that are run by these people and they are horrible to work for. They have no regard for you. They don't care how hard you work. They have no compassion, no empathy, and no mercy. They just want to get out of you all they can get out of you for the bottom line. Because they want to be on the Fortune 500 list. You're becoming slaves. But at the same time, that deep hole is growing in these kids. And maybe you too. From not having grown up with relationships. And I dare to say, if you're in deliverance, probably 99.999% of us are in that boat. But the good news is, God wants to change that. He wants to heal our brains. He can do that. We have seen Him do that. I mean, there is no limit to how much He wants to restore your life. Most people don't even know what abundant life is. Most people have never felt righteousness, peace, and joy down to the deepest gut level. Most people have never had righteousness, peace, and joy when their house is burned up or taken away because they lost it in a bankruptcy, their husband left, and the kid died. No, they've spun out, committed suicide, took drugs. Perilous times are coming, people. More and more perilous times are coming. We have got to be centered in Christ. And you won't be if you can't form an attachment. Or if you think that you're going to be a lone ranger and tough it out by yourself, you're going to be one of the first ones to fall. Because God designed it that way. People need people. And that's what's so wonderful about these conferences. A lot of you folks have to go home, and you're the only one in your country a lot of times. And that gets to be a pretty lonely place, doesn't it? We know. We were out in the sticks for years, and our pastor began sending us tapes. Till God said, you got to move. But I want to share this with you. Even though you can be the only one in your country, you can feel attached. Because godly soul ties form between people, and they minister to people, and they help you in ways you do not even know. Just like we cut off and break the ungodly soul ties, because they're pumping into us things that are destroying our life, the godly soul ties are pumping into you what maybe helps you just get through that day.
And you know deliverance is a real fight. They do not go down easy. It is a knock-down, drag-out fight, and the last man standing wins. And this is where Godly Soul Ties helps you to be the last man standing. You won't win every battle, and you're going to need someone to say, it's okay. Come on, let's try it again. Let's go after that demon again. It's important to have these godly relationships. People cannot change outside of deliverance. They try, and they think they can. But you will not change without deliverance. I want to tell you that now, so you just get it cleared off. Don't be thinking you're going to go home and have the self-will program. I'm going to be nice. I'm going to be kind. Oh, I did that. I'm going to be nice today if it kills me. Well, when you get all those spirits of rejection and anger and rage and everything out, there's no problem being kind. There's no work to being kind. The fruit of the Spirit isn't working. You don't go out to a peach tree and see the poor peach going, I'm growing, I'm growing, I'm growing. Right? You do not hear a peach growing. Right? That's fruit. Well, the fruit in your life doesn't make a sound either. When you get the Spirit out, because the Spirit of God and Christ is already in you, it has a chance to show itself. And the more deliverance you get, the easier the Christian life becomes. And it's not a work, people. It's not a work. You get rid of the fear and the inability to give and receive love, and all of a sudden you can love people. It's not a work. You get rid of the spirit and nicotine and addiction, and it's no problem to say, I don't want that cigarette. Instead of cutting your hand off so you don't reach for it. Religion wants you to work. Work, work. God says, tell him to get out in Jesus Christ's name. I died. I gave my only son so you could be free.
Hallelujah.
Now use it. My son did this for you. Well, how do you know if you need this? How were you raised? What's the relationship like in your marriage, if you really were honest? You know, it's not wrong to have a demon. It's wrong to know you have a demon and you don't try to get it out. That's what's wrong. If you know you have this independent spirit and you're just not going to deal with it, well, you stubborn old cuss. You're just being stubborn. And maybe your mother didn't spank you to get that foolishness out of your heart. So God has to do it. And it hurts worse when God does it. He may say, well, you want to play hardball with me? Let's see, I'm going to start with your job. Maybe your Ferrari gets crashed up. Oh, maybe you don't get that school loan or grant that you wanted. God can play hardball. He doesn't want to do it that way. What he wants to do is to say, Joe, you've got this independent spirit. And he wants Joe to say, yes, Lord, your servant is listening. I'm going to go get that out. I'm going to start binding it in myself. And when I can, I'm going to have someone pray for me, and we're going to get that buzzard out. And if you want to grow fast in Christ, that's the answer. Yes, Lord. No excuses. It's not my wife. It's not the dog. It's not the job. And it will be a fight, because this spirit will, when you get rid of the spirit, your life will change. There is such a sweetness that Monty and I have now. It's so funny. God gave us the opportunity to be at the World Forum. And he spoke on his topic, I spoke on my topic, and at the end they have an opportunity to ask the members questions. Well, they were asking Monty and I questions. Well, he answered my questions, I answered his questions. Well, we didn't even realize it until after the conference. And Monty says, did you realize that? We just operate so back and forth, we don't even know anymore. I'll get to church, and he's got a sermon prepared, he goes in at 4:30, so I get to church, you know, more reasonable time, about 10. I go up and I start talking, and Monty's going, he's smiling like the cat that ate the canary. Well, that's just what his message was about. I have a brother in Germany, and I think it's been 3 times that we have both preached the same message on the same Sunday. So this independent spirit doesn't only divide you from your family, it divides you from the other members and bodies of Christ. And these perilous times that we're going into, we need each other. It doesn't matter if you live on the other side of the world. We need each other. It is a provision from God for these times that are ahead. Nobody's going to make it alone on their own. This spirit is not worth coddling or making excuses for. It will change your life, and you will see your kids' lives change. And maybe your relationship with your parents will change. You might get along better at work. People will start to like you at work where you thought it was all their problem. Well, they're just so rude and hotty-totty, and who do they think they are? When really, you're the one that's got the walls out like this. You're not approachable. But you don't feel the spirit. Like you do anger. Everybody feels that. You do not feel this independent spirit. You have to look at what it does. And it's very stealth. It's like those stealth bombers that go below the radar. And right now, all of these spirits are trying to submarine in you. What I mean by that is they're going, dip, dip, down, 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 down. We're getting ready for the prayer session. We are going to hide deep. They are not going to come to me. And so the people start praying for you, and the bombs go, and the submarine goes, oop, got to go a little deeper, a little deeper. So you go home. Oh, I got prayer on that. The little submarine says. So when it raises its ugly little head, you go, pow, pow. I can talk like a boy now. That's cool. I can make little sounds. You're like, little car sounds. Oh. So beware of the submarining, because they think that they're going to outlast you in this meeting. They will. I'm just telling you, so they don't pull the wool over your eyes. All you do is you just go after it. And praying in the Holy Spirit is a really good thing, because it goes, and it goes way deep down in there. So pray in the Holy Spirit a lot, because it's to build you up. Remember the scripture says? Not to give people prophecies. Oh, quit that. You know, just work on yourself. God says, work on yourself. And then you'll get to share what God's done in your life. That's the only thing that's happened with Monty and I. God's taken us to the ringer because we wanted to be. I knew I needed to be different. Oh, Lord. I would have been in an insane asylum. I had spirits of insanity on my mind. You cannot imagine. From Germany and mind pride and all that stuff. I should have been in an insane asylum. But God has done such a work in my life. And I'm here to encourage you that He wants to do that for you. God is no respecter of people. And that's what I tell Him all the time. Well, you got deliverance from this, and God, you're no respecter of persons. I want to get that out. He goes, okay. So then He brings a situation or a circumstance along. Oh, God, why did this happen? Well, you said you wanted to get this worked out, Sharon. So, what do we do? Remember, for the body is not just one member, but many. And if the foot say, because I'm not the hand, I'm not the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I'm not the eye, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not the body? If the whole body were an eye, how would we hear? If the whole body was an ear, where would we smell? But now hath God set members, every one of them, in the body, as it pleased Him. So you know what? This should bring you the greatest peace. If you're an ear and somebody says you should be a finger, say, I don't hear you, I don't hear you. It's okay to be just who you are. Because what would the body do with 10 feet? Just think of the shoes we'd have to buy, girls. You know? Be happy with who you are, because there's not another one of you in the world. And only you can do what God has put in you to do. And like with Monty's message, God is not into this big and great and better. In the human body, it's the tiniest things that make it all work. It's things you and I will never see, except maybe under a microscope or something, that makes this whole body on the outside go. My hand may go, oh, see my fingernail, see this. And the thing on the inside is going, oh, gosh, get a grip. You know, because I could live without my hand, couldn't I? I could live without two hands. I could live without my feet. I could live without a lot of me. But what's inside, the tiniest things that nobody sees, are the most valuable. And that's not what they want you to know in the world. Because Satan wants to rob you of your reward for eternity. Keep that in mind, folks. He wants to rob your eternal blessings. Not just what's down here on earth. Because deliverance is two ways. You get the demons out, and you get God's nature in. You get out, He pours in. And everything that He pours in, no man can take. No man can take. Like I tell my people at church, if you're standing naked out in the street, you have everything you need because it's all inside. If they take your house, they take your kids, they come up, put you in a cell, strip you naked, I still have everything God gave me. They cannot take that away, and that's what's going to last for eternity, people. It really helps you to just not fear a lot of things. So I would just say consider that. Consider what I've just shared with you today. Our life has changed. The fruit of it is marvelous. And we didn't even know that we had that spirit. We did not know. I would tell you, assume that you do. If in doubt, kick it out. That's my rule of thumb. If in doubt, kick it out. But you will have, if you want to be Christ's representatives on the earth, you have to be able to let God pour into you so that you can pour out love to other people. You know, God has a radiation plan too. You are the nuclear plant on earth. God radiates out from us. People pick up vibes from us. Like we really realized this at the World Forum where one man came up and he said, I just feel so peaceful around you too. We weren't preaching the gospel or doing that kind of stuff, but he knew we were different. And people get attracted to that because there's so little peace in the world. I mean, real peace. And I didn't have to say a word. But if you have this independent spirit, it's blocking God this way and it's blocking God that way. And it's blocking people this way. And it's a very empty, lonely. Those words are too mild. There's just hollowness. If you want that life and life abundant, that is, has nothing to do with material possessions, go after the Spirit and then let God fill you up. Are you encouraged?
Amen.
Yeah. Isn't it nice to know who the enemy is? It's really hard, like for us, for years, we didn't know what we were fighting. And Monty didn't even know. I mean, he felt so bad when he realized how this spirit was working. I mean, he just was mortified. He goes, really? I mean, he sincerely did not know. But like a true man of God, he submitted himself and went to the Lord and said, Lord, I want this out. I want to be close to my wife. I want to be close to my kids. And how can you pastor a church if you have this spirit of independence? You will never be a body because I can do it all myself. You will never let people come in and help you. Oh, I'm so tired. I have so much to do. And I blah, blah. Well, why don't you ask so-and-so to help you? This independent spirit won't let you ask for help, guys. And girls, if you have this, recognize that. It won't let you ask for help. And if you have a German background, God help you. You're going to need a little extra. I was. Because I'm telling you, Germans are raised. We do it right. We do it right the first time, and we don't need any help doing it. And so just recognize that. You may have to just pound in the head a little harder. But that's okay. God is here. He is on your side. He is for you. And He loves you. You know how many billion people there are in the world? What is it, 7-something billion now? How many people's eyes has He opened to deliverance? How many of your friends can you just sit and chit-chat with about deliverance? Not too many, right? How many billions of people are on the earth and He has opened your eyes? And you know that a Christian can have a demon, and you know that God wants to deliver you of that. You are a very small portion of the earth. You are the salt of the earth. You are preserving the earth. And all you have to do is say, when God brings it to you, when He brings something into your life, you just say, okay, Lord, thank You for showing me that. There is no condemnation with God. He's not going to tell you that you have a spirit of rebellion or rejection or this to condemn you. He wants to work with you to get the bugger out. He says, hey, that is an enemy over there. Let's go get him. Separate yourself from the demon. You are not the demon. You are not the demon. Whatever demon is trying to manifest in you, I don't care how evil they are, how many murders they've committed, how many people they've chopped up, you are not that spirit. You are not that demon. And when people can do that, then they start to separate themselves and say no, and they don't get to shame, and they don't draw in. Because once the enemy does that with you, you don't fight back. You say, this is what I say, you're a demon and you're going down. And it's not you. So praise the Lord, and thank you so much for your attention. And I hope this just is such a blessing to your life like it was to ours. Okay, thank you.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.